Can it get any more insane?
No.
I mean, it really can. Like the problem at hand is illegal immigrants, right? People crossing our border illegally. And what do we have? We have the federal and state governments going at each other, doing a tit for tat. I'm going to do this. You're going to now do that. And then there's lawsuits. Then you're in court. And then you I mean, and in the meantime, the problem persists. Good morning and welcome to another Financial Guys podcast. It is a Friday and Mike and I were doing our new Friday format, three topics each and one funny topic to end the show. Mike, how are you doing, buddy?
I am good. Looking forward to a Bills game on Sunday.
I know. Well, I have to say, I am sporting the Bills emblem. I hope you have some Bills emblem on somewhere.
I'm
somewhere on your body.
High school football team today, so okay. I'll go with that. It's Buffalo still. It's Grand Island, so we'll do that.
It is Buffalo. Yeah. So real quick, like, what's your thought on the Pittsburgh game?
Well, the weather's looking a little dicey. I think the wind chill's at 0 and 7 inches of snow, so we'll see.
Is that why ticket prices are going down
so
much?
$12 to get in.
It's like literally they're saying, just please show up and we'll give you $30 yes. because nobody else wants to be here. No, I think it'll still sell out. Yeah, I mean, there are fair weather fans, yep. but some people are just like smart. Yep. Some people say, I don't know. I have a 70-inch TV screen at home. I can get to the bathroom quickly. I can eat. I can drink. Maybe I just won't go down and sit in that Orchard Park. Like frigid temperatures.
I will be there, but I will not be the guy with no shirt on and paint all over my body. I will be in like 48 layers. So I will be there warm and fine. That's my game plan.
Yeah. And go Bills. That's go right. Bills. Just game one. What is it? 4 they have to win basically yep. to be Super Bowl champs. So yep. there's a long, long way to go. So Mike, let me start with this. I'm going to throw this word out at you and I'm going to bring in a juxtaposition today.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. Right on. Oh, yeah. Go so ahead. Anyone listening, if you're not sure what that means, I'll demonstrate it. So the border, Mike, we've often talked about the border, and I know you get pretty fired up because the border creates all sorts of problems, including the continuation of this massive fentanyl crisis that we yep. see and the drug issues that I know you personally have had impact your own family and significantly terrible ways. So Texas, let me tell you, this is how you do it. Texas seizes control of a park, blocks border patrol from entering as part of anti-illegal immigration efforts. So Governor Abbott, kudos to you, sir. You are doing exactly what you should do. If the federal government is not going to take care of a massive, massive crisis on your border, good for you to take it into your own hands. I'll get to the other part of the juxtaposition in a second, but your thoughts, Mike?
Well, it's funny you say this because I think you stole my first topic of the day. Thank God I prepared for it today. So, yes, you would think that this would be the move, right? If the federal government won't do it, you would think that the states would just say, we need to do it. Mm-hmm. And I applaud Governor Abbott. I think he's a little bit late on this. I would have liked this maybe 2 years ago, but I applaud him for trying because at this point, the numbers are so staggering and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, if you're Republican, Democrat, right. Independent, you can't look at what's going on and look at the video footage that we have of it now and be like, you know, this really isn't a problem. Yet our federal government continues to say, Mike, it's not a problem.
And I think the number, and I was listening to Ben Shapiro this past week, and I think he said it ended up equating to about 200,000 per month. So over 2.4 million. I've seen publications where they're saying 2.5 million encounters on that border in the year that they tracked it.
And this is year 3, actually year 4 now of the Biden administration. So let's do the math. Even if it's only like 2 million.
Right.
Over 4 years, that's 8 million that we think, mm-hmm. which we know that means it's actually more.
Far more.
Yeah.
Right. Far more. The juxtaposition side of this. Now, the other side, here are House Democrats, Mike, in the same topic, right? They unveil a bill to protect climate refugees. So this is what they're saying. They're going to introduce the first major piece of legislation to establish protections for migrants displaced by climate change. Ramping up a push for a long overdue framework for how the U.S. should respond to a crisis already unfolding on its shores. So you got to give them credit for their creativity, Mike. Bring in the climate crisis, the climate, you know, complete, you know, almost a parody of, like, we actually have some impact, right? Sure. Bring that into this massive, massive issue of illegal immigration at the border. And now they're going to basically say, oh, no. These people have to get up to the U.S. Otherwise, what will they do? Burn to death? Will they be, you know, I guess, will they drown from the massive flooding, the tornadoes, the volcanoes? Like, they just know climate change will take them down if they don't make it here.
You didn't steal my topic, believe it or not. So I do have my topic that's on the same topic. What I will say, though, the left, remember the Bill O'Reilly show? He used to call it the no spin zone.
Oh, yes.
The left is the spin zone. They are spinning. They are. Always. They're always spinning things. Mike, because this is the same topic, I'm going to go into mine. So you said that about Texas, which is great and good for Governor Abbott. Mm-hmm. Here's the only problem, Mike. This dropped this morning. New. In overnight Department of Justice filing, feds confirm that the Texas National Guard has deployed armed soldiers and vehicles to block the federal government from accessing the river. That is what Texas did, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Eagle Pass in Texas. Okay. Now, there is a significant escalation by Texas after feds fought to remove the Texas barriers. This is setting up now the DOJ fighting Texas on trying to keep the border closed. You talk about juxtaposition, but let's talk about this. Texas tries to fix the problem. What does the federal government say? No. We are going to fix it on our own end. But by fix it, we just mean open it up more. That's what's happening right now. The federal government, the Department of Justice is now saying, no, you cannot close your border. We're opening it back up.
Can it get any more insane?
No.
I mean, it really can. Like the problem at hand is illegal immigrants, right? People crossing our border illegally. And what do we have? We have the federal and state governments going at each other, doing a tit for tat. I'm going to do this. You're going to now do that. And then there's lawsuits. Then you're in court. And then you and in the meantime, the problem persists. It's absolute lunacy. Absolute lunacy. And then all I can think of is, God, do we need Trump in that office again?
Yeah, and I think whether you like Trump or you don't like Trump, and there's definitely a lot of positives of Trump, there's some negatives of Trump, there's things he did really well, there's things that maybe we wish he didn't do or did better, like draining the swamp. However, this is one issue that Donald Trump worked his butt off on,
right,
and actually made change on, right? People that say, like, oh, there were still drugs coming over, and, oh, there were still people coming over. Correct. There were. It's a border that needs to be closed, and it was never fully closed. Here's the problem, though. Mm-hmm. The numbers during Trump were about a third, a quarter, a fifth, Mike, at times, of what's coming over now. That's a big difference. You bring up that number, 2.5 million. Well, if Trump was at a fifth, it's 500,000. Mm-hmm. That's a major difference when you're talking over the course of 4 years. That's 8 million people, Mike, that Donald Trump didn't let over. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And think of it like this. I think of like I'm just, you know, sitting here thinking, what is this like? Like, think of a basketball team and think of the Golden State Warriors, for instance. They have Steph Curry, right? Amazing, amazing scorer. If you want to talk about Donald Trump and think of him like a Steph Curry, you can pretty much count on Steph Curry getting on the court and likely putting up 30 to 40 points, right?
Yep.
You can count on Donald Trump getting in office and taking care of the border.
Yep.
He might not be like, I think, in Steph Curry again. He might not like rebound, you know, 15, you know, balls in a game.
Yep.
He might not play the best defense the whole game, right?
Yep.
Just like Trump might not be great at everything. Donald Trump is not going to be the guy who's going to make you feel really good. And, you know, if you have the flu and you're just like, oh, I just wish someone would whisper nice things to me like mom used to do. No, he's not going to be that guy. And he might be the mean tweeter. But he will take care of business and he will take care of that border. And honestly, think of all the effects of a bad border. A bad border creates so many issues.
And it's not just drugs, right? Drugs is the one we talk about all the time, but it's more than that. It's crime. It's not having an idea of who's in your country. Terrorism, potentially, right? I mean, there are so many things look, Mike, the other thing, too, is jobs. You know, I have a topic later on about Jerry Nadler this week, so we'll get to that. I'll let you get to your third topic. But jobs is another problem when you have 8 million people coming in and taking American jobs. Go ahead.
Yep. And so next topic. In New York, lost nearly 102,000 residents, Mike, in a year. The most. Congratulations, right? Governor Hochul. The most in the nation. While we just previously talked about Governor Abbott, Texas saw the biggest population gain. I'm not thinking this means that the illegal immigrants are adding to the population in Texas, although it is. I think it's people like those in New York, in Illinois, in California. There were actually 8 states that lost population. New York led the way, Mike, 102,000. So
that's winning, Mike. That's winning, though.
And what's the this is what retired New York Police Department Lieutenant John McCurry, born in Brooklyn, said. People are getting sick of it. The lawlessness, the protests in transit hubs, young families no longer see this as a place to raise their children. This is the making of another disaster for New York.
So we are winning in something, Mike. Population decrease. That's good. but here's the other thing that wasn't mentioned there. Yes, crime, lawlessness, drug use, protest. But also the fact that it's not getting any cheaper to live here either. Mm-hmm. Right? When you look at New York City, I have family down there. A one-bedroom or a studio apartment costs what it costs for my mortgage here.
Right.
I mean, with taxes included in the mortgage and insurance, right? I have a cousin that lives down there, Mike. It is, I think, it's a studio apartment about 800 square feet. It's about $2,200 a month. That is what I pay for my mortgage, taxes, and insurance every month. And I live in a home, right? Mm-hmm. Like not a condo, a home.
Yep.
So I think, you know, when you look at that, all that you said is bad, but then you look on top of it, it's not cheap. Yes, Buffalo is much cheaper than New York City. I get that. But still, the taxes, Mike, you pay taxes. Mm-hmm. I pay taxes, property taxes, income taxes, you name school taxes. It's very expensive to live here. And then you have to deal with crap on your streets, heroin needles everywhere, crack pipe vending machines, crime, protests, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a winning formula. And I'm not surprised. I mean, we're all not surprised that New York is just getting decimated by population loss. No shock.
Yeah. The American dream is more like a New York nightmare. Like literally, like that's how people are starting to feel. And we talk to a lot of people. A lot of people are deciding.
Your clients are leaving. My clients
are
leaving.
Yeah. They're like transitioning. I'm going to call it not a gender transition, simply a location transition. They're saying, you know what, we got to get out of here at least a couple weeks a year. And then it's turning into a couple months. Now it's, well, half the year we're not going to be here.
Yep.
Mostly it's parents that they're still taking care of. So elderly parents, it's now grandchildren that they want to stay nearby to, right?
Yep.
You just can't as a parent, and I haven't experienced this, but going from being a parent to a grandparent, it sounds like it is one of the most amazing things in life. And people that are now retired and have grandchildren, they don't want to leave. So as bad as things get in New York, they still feel compelled to stay or at least be here to some degree. But man, they do not want to stay here permanently.
I just talked to a client this week, and then we'll go to topic number 4. I just talked to a client this week that moved here back here from Florida for family and then said to me, it's been about, I rode his home in auto when he came back to Buffalo about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And he goes, Mike, I can't do it. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And he's going back to Florida, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't blame him. What are we going to say? Come on, you don't like high taxes? Come on, you don't like crime? You know, I mean, so, you know, that's what people come back here to try and make it work, Mike, and they leave again. And to your point, some people can't financially. They can't leave. But if they can or their family isn't here anymore, they're out of here. They don't care. There's nothing that's going to stop them from leaving.
Yeah, it's funny. It used to be that people would say, boy, I hope my kids don't leave. I hope they don't leave the state.
Yeah.
I'll really miss them if they do. Boy, I'd miss the grandkids if they're not here in New York State. Now I hear people saying, boy, I hope Susie leaves the state. I mean, if she leaves, I'm out of here. Like, that's how they are now. People are like, kids, get out of here. Like, go down to the Carolinas, maybe Georgia, Kentucky, Texas, Florida, you know, even some Western states, you know, go and find your life there. We'll move there with you. Like, that's how I'm hearing it now.
Mike, my dad says this every month. Hey, we have a house in Florida. If you want to move to Florida, we'll figure it out. Let's move to Florida. I mean, my own parents say that every day, right? All right. Topic number 4 here, Mike. I'm going to check in on Ray Epps with you here. Ray Epps, remember, this is the same guy that told us, you know, he was wrongfully, you know, picked on by Tucker Carlson and he wasn't an insurrectionist. He, you know, everything that we caught on tape, no big deal. He wasn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got a sentencing this week. And, you know, as you know, some of these people, like the Proud Boys guy, got 22 years in prison. He wasn't even there, by the way, got 22 years in prison for inciting violence and insurrection. Ray Epps had his sentencing this week. 1 year. 1 year, not of jail, not of prison, Mike. 1 year of probation. Okay. So he's on the camera saying, we need to storm the Capitol. I don't care what anybody says. I'll say it. We need to get inside the Capitol is what he said. I have the video. 1 year of probation, nothing to see here. Just wanted to mention that this week.
And people wonder,
yeah,
like, how can anyone wonder why we all get upset?
Yep.
Like the two-tier justice system, right? Yep. People laugh. They, oh, no, come on. No, that doesn't happen. There it is, right?
Yep.
This is the equivalent of a censure, right? You know, in Congress, if someone gets a little bit too, I don't know, vile or
feisty,
you know, a little too feisty, oh, should we censure them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because then they have to stand there in front of the rest of Congress and, yep. and you can admonish them and say, we don't appreciate what you did. And here you are to listen to us. And, you know, that's essentially what Ray Epps is getting. He's, yep. you know, how often does he have to report to a probation officer,
yep.
if at all?
And this, the thing that bothers me is if you're a serious country and you're not playing political games and weaponizing justice, right? You would say, okay, if that's the case, fine, give them the year of probation, but then let's let out all the J6ers, right? Because,
right.
you know, many of them said and did the same things and, or took video and have gotten jail time. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem to me. The biggest problem though, is they don't care anymore. They are right. saying, you pieces of crap. If you vote for Trump, we will do everything we can to put you behind bars. Mm-hmm. We'll take your president off the ballot. We will do whatever it takes. And we don't care that you know that Ray Epps, they knew we would find out Ray Epps' sentencing. Come on. This is not like,
of course.
Oh, we can hide this, right? They knew. They did it on purpose. And what do we have right now? We have them spitting in our faces, slapping mm-hmm. us across the face, kicking us in the crotch right now. That's what they're doing, and they don't even care.
And this is similar to the judge, you know, Engoron, yep, I think,
yep.
Him smirking while Trump is there in court, yep, and yep. Tish James showing yep. up and smiling. And now, of course, we're hearing all sorts about Tish James. Maybe yep. we'll have to cover that next week.
I actually have that, Mike, and that's my third topic.
Oh, today, my so goodness. We'll wait on that. But I mean, that's exactly, I think, what we see now. Yep. And you say it all the time, like they just slap you in the face with this now. Yep. It's not even like, oh, it's behind closed doors or, yep. oh, yeah, I wasn't invited to that committee hearing where they did this or that. No, no, they just do it right in front of you now.
Yep.
All right. Perfect timing. So we're going to come back to New York, Mike. New York City Mayor Eric Adams defends housing migrants at a high school amid the backlash. So, Mike, this is what's happened. I'm just going to paraphrase. About 2,000 illegal immigrants were led into a school, okay, at James Madison High School,
okay.
because the shelters are being basically, they're too full.
Yep.
And strong winds, right? Stormy weather, Mike, might be climate change in play here.
No way to tell.
No way to tell. You know, we'll never know. So basically, they say, you know what, kids, 2,000, or what was the entire population of the school? I don't know. But they said, you know what, you're going to have remote learning. That went really well, didn't it, during COVID?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to stay home because we need the school to house illegal immigrants and keep them safe from the weather. And now, I mean, this is literally taking things to yet another level where you just can't imagine. Now, if this was July, August, and it's steamy, it's hot, schools closed in July and August. We're going to use James Madison High School to house the illegals. It's scorching hot. It's 98. It's 100. People are passing out. We're going to use the gymnasium, whatever. No. This is the mid-school year, Mike. And they're literally thinking they can now put these people in a school and make the kids stay home. What the hell is going on here?
Well, I think, Mike, even to your example of the scorching hot summer, I don't care. They don't belong here. So it doesn't matter. I don't care what's going on, right? And to your point, like, this is yet another example, right? So the drug crisis, terrorist watch list, you know, all these different things. Oh, and now we're taking American kids out of school for the migrant crisis, too. So let's add that onto the list of things that are bad. It's Mike, I'm almost speechless at some of this stuff because you can't make it up anymore. Like, this is a Babylon Bee headline that is now coming true.
Right.
And to me, it's just, again, if I was a parent, I'd be suing New York State.
No doubt.
I'm going to tell you right now that if Mike Lomas's daughter was taken out of school, or Glenn Wiggle's son or daughter was taken out of school for migrants, there would be another lawsuit for this. I mean, this is ridiculous. This might be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And again, on top of it, this is why we keep saying we don't want these people here. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to hear, oh, you know, they're here for asylum. They're looking for a better life. Lovely. There's tens of millions of Americans looking for a better life too. Let's start with them, and then we'll worry about the rest of the world. And it's not just Venezuelans, right? It's not just Cubans. It's not just you know, people from Mexico. Like, it's proven. Mm-hmm. Chinese nationalists, terrorists from across the globe, mm-hmm. right? People on terrorist watch lists, literally that we know of on watch lists, drug dealers, rapists, murderers. That's what's coming across. And we're okay with that? That this is like an okay, no big deal. We'll just put them in schools.
Yeah. And in an interview, Mayor Adams said the city did the right thing, right? And he okay. compared it, Mike, to citing floods and fires. So floods and fires,
natural disasters,
are reasons to get yeah. people into sure. schools, right? Yeah. Shut down the school. Yeah. Actually, make the kids stay home yeah. so the illegal immigrants can be in the school that you're supposed to be in learning. And then I'd say this last thing. Are graduation rates that good that we can afford to do this? I mean,
well, Mike, to your point, we have a lot of great data to say that it worked really well during COVID. The remote learning really made America smarter during COVID. So we might as well do it again.
Unbelievable.
We should just fill all the schools with migrants. We have enough schools, and that's easy.
Honest to God.
Mike, this is what we talked about before. I'm just going to hit this. So Letitia James and Judge, whatever his name is, mm-hmm. Erdogan. Mm-hmm. This week, Trump's mother-in-law passed away. And he tried to get a delay for the trial because his mother-in-law just passed away. I just want to stress mm-hmm. that again. His mother-in-law died. His wife's mother passed away. He tried to get an extension on a later trial date. They wouldn't do it. Of course they wouldn't do it. But worse, Mike, this is now coming out this week. Letitia James visited the Biden White House in April of 2022, August of 2023, and July of 2023, according to White House logs. Also, Fannie Willis from Georgia, who's mm-hmm. also prosecuting Trump, visited the White House in 2022 and 2023. Just want to point that out because that's, you know, why are they going to the White House to meet with the Biden administration? So that's number one. Also, Mike, and let me go back to New York case for a second. They will not allow Trump to deliver his own closing argument in that trial in New York. They would mm-hmm. not let him speak on his own trial there. Finally, just to add more for Fannie Willis now, Fannie Willis, Mike, was paying out $654,000, mm-hmm. American dollars, to a boyfriend during, and by the way, that boyfriend was married to another woman during this whole thing, during this whole trial down there. So not only are they not letting him speak, not only are they not giving him a break because his mother-in-law died, she hired and paid a boyfriend $654,000 in Georgia in state funds, Mike, not her own. State funds during the investigation of Donald Trump and prosecution of Donald Trump. This is the same stuff they're going after Trump for, misusing dollars, mm-hmm. right? And they're doing it to get Donald Trump. I don't know how much more we can prove here that this is just getting to be a legitimate banana republic in America.
Yeah. And you start to think, are there any Democrats that'll stand up and do anything about any of this? Will they ask more questions? But then I say, how about Republicans? Shouldn't Republicans in mass be meeting to say, enough is enough. We cannot let this continue. We got to, I'd like to see them shut down government so that some of these other things are looked at and they actually do something about it. These people are not even like swamp creatures anymore, Mike. Yeah. Swamps, I think you could probably live in a swamp, right? This is more like septic system people. These are like people crawling out of my septic system with crap all over them, smelling like the most vile of odors that you can ever imagine. These people are vile. These people are evil. They're disgusting. And nobody in Washington seems to care. All they do is basically join them, right? Yep. They sort of join the crowd. Like, oh, yeah, look the other way on that. Yep. And the real scary thing is, here we are talking about the legislative branch. It's like creeping into the judicial system now,
that's
too.
Right. That's right.
So now when they get into collusion, and you can say the executive system. So we're supposed to have three equal branches of government, right? They're all supposed to check and balance each other out.
Yep.
With this administration and with these liberals, it's one big mess.
Yep.
It's one big branch of government without equal justice, which is it's horrific. This all just screams for we need Donald Trump again. We need Donald Trump in the White House. He's the only one that has the balls to do something about this.
And I agree with you 100%. I do, Mike, I had two clips today for our Friday fun segment. I'm only going to do the one. The first one that I'm not going to play, I'll just tease real quick, was Whoopi Goldberg telling Liz Cheney she should run as an independent because she did so well running in Idaho, losing by 40 points. That is how ridiculous The View is and how ridiculous leftists are. They just don't get it. But the clip you chose, number two, Mike. Mm-hmm. So here's the clip of the week. This is Jill Biden talking about her husband.
And I think what people don't see is how hard Joe works every single day, that he gets up thinking what he can do for the American people.
So is that before or after his vacation to the Bahamas, before or after he shuts down at 2 p.m. every day, before or after he goes back to Delaware? Where is the hard work? Oh, by the way, Joe, you didn't even know that your defense secretary wasn't in the office for literally weeks. Secretary Austin was not in the office, and this is a big deal right now because,
huge
by the way,
deal.
We're about to go to war, if you haven't heard. We are bombing Yemen and places in the Middle East. Kind of a big deal that we should probably know. I mean, Mike, you work with staff. I work with staff. I know every minute of the day if my staff is not around, right? I know even people on your staff, Mike, that aren't around because I just look and open my eyes. This is a problem, and this is my biggest thing. Saying that, and actually how many people believe that, frightens me, because that man is useless. That man, I've said it before, is essentially a dead man walking. It is Weekend at Bernie's. I mean, how could you actually say that out loud and be serious? Oh, by the way, and your buddy Obama, on top of your buddy Obama and his wife are like, this guy's a mess. Like, even your own president from years ago is like, this guy's a total disaster. His wife, though, he's working really hard. It's like the mother, Mike, with the kids, right? Like, the kid's an idiot in school, right? But he's really trying.
He's an idiot. Don't know how much he wakes up every day. He wakes up every day. That's like, that should just be the end of it. He still wakes up every day.
He breathes every
day. So we should really appreciate this president. I mean, isn't that the minimum requirement, Mike, that he wakes up thinking, what can I do for the American people? Like, she's making that sound like it's so noble. It's like he's exceptional at his job. No, he's not exceptional. In fact, we expect far, far more from like the leader of the free world, Jill. You know, it's just, it's pretty shocking, to be honest. And, you know, he's about the opposite of Trump. Trump is like a task guy. I always envision Trump, huge whiteboard in his, you know, maybe a back office or something. And he's got everything listed. These are all the things I'm going to accomplish this year. Checking one after another off. Making sure they're all these, you know, plates are spinning so that everything gets done. Joe doesn't even know. He doesn't even know his way around that White House, I'm sure. I'm sure he's getting lost when he's wandering, right? He's wandering around. I'm sure he has no clue. It's really disgusting. But think about the impact it's having, Mike. It's having a massive amount of negative impact on this country. It's really become almost like America last, Americans last. They do not care about us. It's we'll do whatever the hell we want, and you'll just be subject to it and victims of it.
Last thing I'll say, this just came out as well. Millions fill the street in Yemen as Houthi rebels promise revenge against U.S. after 73 strikes. So, Joe, while you're working hard, in air quotes, and we're just starting more wars in the Middle East, well done. You know, Trump didn't do that. He actually stopped that. Here we go again. We'll be in the Middle East. I will tell you right now, if Joe Biden wins the election, get ready, because we're going to have wars inside our country and we're going to have wars across the globe. That is scary to me as an American who's 31 years old and has a long way to go. Hopefully we need to wake up and get these nut jobs out of office, because they will literally kill us.
And with a military now that focuses more on diversity, equity, and inclusion, instead of actually attracting and recruiting some of the best in our country, best young people you can find, it really does bring a ton of worry.
You don't think Hamas is recruiting on diversity, equity, and North Korea, China? No,
I don't think they make it.
I thought that was the thing.
I don't think they make it through their boot camp. I mean, literally, don't make it through. All right. I guess that's it, huh?
That's it.
All right.
Go, folks, Bills.
It's a Friday. Yes. Bills against the Steelers in the divisional round here in Western New York, Orchard Park. Go Bills. And, you know, you can find everything we do, by the way. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will be our podcast schedule now moving forward. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle.
I know you love that. I thought it would get
It's third down. down.
I thought you'd give me an option to play that.
Oh, I just love it. I'm the train horn guy during games. So I was actually playing that at the Miami game in Miami. And I know it had an impact. I mean, clearly they won. Yes. So it must have mattered. So Wednesday's Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, you and I, Mike, on Fridays, and then sandwiched in between that, you always do a special interview. Yeah. Can you tip us off on any that you got coming up on Thursdays?
Yeah, so I had Trump's attorney, Christina Bob, last week. This week I did Stefan Mihailu to talk about the Iowa caucus, because that is Monday, January 15th, this Monday, mm-hmm. the Iowa caucus. He kind of talked about how the caucuses work and how they're different than primaries, how the caucuses work and how they're different than general elections, and talked a little bit about the candidates. Trump, Vivek, DeSantis, Haley, Christie, sorry, you're done. You're fired. He's out. But we did talk about the other four candidates as well. So check that out. With everybody knows Stefan Mihailu around here. So check that out. And nice. I'm working on another Trump attorney very soon. And I'm also working on Ben Burgum, who does a lot of border stuff as well. So
awesome. Yep. Lots to find, folks. Yep. Financialguysmedia.com, or download our app. You'll have everything at your fingertips. Everything we do, you can listen to at any time. And if you need us throughout the week, folks, 833-FIN-GUYS. If you think like us, work with us. Mike, have a great weekend. Go Bills.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you next Friday.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.